Hi everyone, and welcome to this message for Palm Sunday 2020. My first thought about Palm Sunday was this: how would the triumphal entry have worked out while practicing social distancing? How long would the procession have been? How do you define a multitude when it's strung out over miles? May have given Jesus even one more reason to clear the temple. My second thought was, thank God he didn't cancel Easter 2020. More than ever in our lifetime, it is crucial to observe all the things we normally do in each other's presence in the celebration of Easter. We need the comfort of familiar traditions currently suspended. We need each other. We need God's comfort, and we need the comfort from knowing God is in control, regardless of what Friday or the next 3 days, weeks, or months might bring. My third thought was, how do we live out our faith in today's chaos, especially in Jasper? Mandated physical distancing makes social nearness impossible in our world in light of COVID-19. Not since the Spanish flu of 1918 has our world seen anything like it. Time will tell if it will take as big a toll as a bubonic or black plague. We know more and sooner than ever before. We are all under more and different stressors than ever before. We need to sing and shout, Hosanna. We need to cry out, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Christian's response to life generally, and in these trying times specifically, is to model the kind of self-sacrifice that Jesus demonstrated. That's only possible by the Holy Spirit of God living in us and empowering us. Our passage today is Matthew 21:1-17. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you will say, The Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble, and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went before him and that followed him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? The crowds said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, Do you hear what they are saying? Jesus said to them, Yes. Have you never read, Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise? Leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany, and he stayed there. Did you realize this was not the first triumphal entry? Huh? That's right. The first one was when it came to present the successor to King David. One of David's sons, Adonijah, was trying to wrest control of the kingdom, whereas David had already declared Solomon as heir to the throne. This story is found in 1 Kings 1, 1-49. David loaned the royal mule to Solomon. Yeah, that was actually a thing. And a noisy throng cheered the new, true king, coming on a donkey through the same valley to the same gate as Jesus would 900 years later. Adonijah's party was on the sly, unofficial, although attended by many officials, as an endeavor to usurp what rightly belonged to another. Solomon's entry was very public, with King David's endorsement, culminating with Solomon sitting on and assuming the throne. As an interesting sideline, Adonijah clung to the horns of the altar for safety and wouldn't let go until he had Solomon's word that no harm would come to him. Solomon, though charged by his father to heed God's commandments, ended up with 300 wives, 700 concubines, and even though he made a good choice before God, that is, choosing wisdom over fame or fortune, he ultimately turned his back on God and led his people to idols. Fast forward to Jesus' entry. The legitimate king, riding on a donkey, humble and peace-seeking, versus a prancing stallion that spoke of pride and military might, using the same valley and the same gate. This was Jesus' public notice that he was taking his rightful place. Even so, it was not the kind of kingdom that the Jews expected, or that left Herod at all threatened. Solomon's entrance into Jerusalem on a donkey across the Kidron Valley and the Gihon Spring declares the true king. It announced that the priest Abiathar and all the religious leaders following him were phonies. It announces that the military leader Joab and all his military powers are not in charge. This one, this king on a donkey, is the true son of David and heir to the throne. But as a reflection of Solomon's coronation, Jesus' triumphal entry teaches us even more. It testifies that the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders who opposed him, are phonies. Like Eli's sons, they are disqualified from representing the true and living God, as found in 1 Samuel 2:31 and following. It also says that Rome, with all its military might, is not in charge. Even the blind could see that Jesus, this king on the donkey, is the true son of David. Matthew 20 and 21. Here, at last, is the true king. This quote from Matthew Westerholm. Solomon built a temple, but then he led his people to worship foreign idols. Jesus established a new temple and is the worship leader for his assembled people. I will tell of the Lord's name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Quoting Psalm 22, verse 22, and Hebrews 2, 12. Solomon led his people down the path to exile. Jesus is the pathway to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. Solomon died, just as David did. This is told in 1 Kings 11:43. Jesus rose from the dead to give everlasting life, not only to David and to Solomon, but to all his royal sons and daughters. Hebrews 2:10 affirms this. The triumphal entry was a significant event, not only to the people of Jesus' day, but to Christians throughout history. We celebrate Palm Sunday to remember that momentous occasion. On that day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a borrowed donkey's colt, one that had never been ridden before. The disciples spread their cloaks on the donkey for Jesus to sit on, and the multitudes came out to welcome him, laying before him their cloaks and the branches of palm trees. The people hailed and praised him, King who comes in the name of the Lord, as he rode to the temple, where he taught the people, healed them, and drove out the merchants and money changers who had made his father's house a den of robbers. This portion was recorded in Mark 11:17. Jesus rode into Jerusalem to make public his claim to be their Messiah and King of Israel, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. Matthew says that the king coming on a foal of a donkey is the exact fulfillment of Zechariah 9, verse 9, quoting, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus rides into his city as a conquering king and is hailed by the people as such, as was appropriate and the manner of his day. Jerusalem's streets and the royal city are opened to him, and like a king, he ascends to his palace, not a temporal palace, but the spiritual palace that is the temple, because his is a kingdom of a spiritual kind. He receives the worship and praise of the people because only he deserves it. No longer must his disciples be quiet about him, as they were instructed in Matthew 12:16 and 16:20. They shouted his praises and worshiped him openly. Spreading cloaks was an act of homage for royalty, 2 Kings 9:13. Jesus was openly declaring to the people that he was their king and the Messiah that they had been waiting for. Unfortunately, the praise that people lavished on Jesus was not because they recognized him as their savior from sin. They welcomed him out of their desire for a messianic deliverer, someone who would lead them in a revolt against Rome. There were many who, though they did not believe in Christ as Savior, nevertheless hoped that perhaps he would be to them a great temporal deliverer. These are the ones who hailed him as king with their many hosannas, recognizing him as the Son of David who came in the name of the Lord. But when he failed in their expectations, when he refused to lead them in a mass revolt against the Romans, they quickly turned on him. Soon their cries of Hosanna would change to cries of Crucify Him. Luke 23:20-21. This story of the triumphal entry is full of contrasts and filled with applications for believers. This king came as a lowly servant on a donkey, not on a prancing steed. Not in royal robes, but on the clothes of the poor and the humble. Jesus comes not to conquer by force as an earthly king, but by love and grace and mercy and his own sacrifice for his people. His is not a kingdom of armies and splendor, but of lowliness and servanthood. He conquers not nations, but hearts and minds. He gained victory over sin and death and hell. His message is one of peace with God, not of earthly peace. And if Jesus has made a triumphal entry into our hearts, he reigns there in peace and love. As his followers, we exhibit those same qualities, and the world sees the true King living in and reigning in triumph in us. This is Palm Sunday. We celebrate the triumph of the second king to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He enters to the praise of children and adults, unmasking all pretenders to his throne and reminding us that he, and he alone, is the only king worth following. He led the way of humility, of love, of service, of compassion, and forgiveness. As he forms into us his own very image by the power of the Holy Spirit, he lives out his life and love in and through us. This is the way we live and love in Jasper, by loving our neighbors, our friends, our families. This is the way that we love those who love him. It's also the way we love those who don't love him, who protest and resist him. It is how we love seniors, the chronically ill, the refugees, the alcoholics, the drug users, the downtrodden, those who can't speak for themselves, those who are suffering injustice and powerless to do anything about it. This is the way we love the LGBTQ community, our civic leaders, our provincial leaders, our national leaders, our world. We are the ones that cry, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, bringing the good news of love and peace with God, reconciliation to God the Father through the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.